Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
In 1 John 5:18, we have learned the believer's condition and the believer's protection. And now we're ready to move on to verse 19 and take a look at the believer's demarcation. Now you remember, this is a rather challenging text, but a very instructive one if we will understand it properly. We read in verse 18, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." And thus far we have learned that the believer, the one who is born of God, does not remove himself from the authority of Christ. He does not sin with a high-handed attitude. He does not sin with the idea that I can sin with impunity, I can place myself under my own authority and not be bound by the regulations that Christ has given. A person who does that has not been born of God. It's as simple as that. And so this is in itself a mark of the believer, and we could call that the believer's demarcation. But we have called it the believer's condition. The condition of a believer is that he has had a changed heart. And he now desires to be ruled by Christ, and though he does not obey Christ perfectly, it bothers him when he doesn't. He desires to obey Christ perfectly. And that's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. But then there's also the believer's protection. We looked at that previously, and we will quickly review that before moving on. But I need to pause and welcome you to this Wednesday, March 13, Beacon broadcast, and to remind you that we do depend upon our radio listeners in order to continue this ministry on this station. The believer's protection is wrapped up in that phrase, "But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." Now, I showed you on the broadcast yesterday why there is a bit of a translation issue involved in this text, and this very well may be saying, "He who has been born of God," meaning Christ, "keeps," rather than "he who has been born of God keeps himself." It may not be reflexive, and the first reference may not be to the Christian, but to Christ, who has been born of God in the sense of being the only begotten of God. And I don't want to go back into that again and give you the reasons for that, but I simply remind you of that as we move on. So the believer is protected by the power of Christ, who has broken the power of Satan. For we read, "The evil one does not touch him." And I don't think we have any difficulty believing that the evil one would like to touch us, would like to grip us, would like to hold on to us, would like to drag us down, but he can't because Christ is keeping us. He has guaranteed that we will make it safely home to heaven. We couldn't do that on our own, but we can do that because of the protection which Christ gives us. Which now brings us to that interesting verse in verse 19 that I've called the believer's demarcation. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. another one of these truths that John states assuredly, that believers know assuredly. We know. That's a very common phrase throughout the first epistle of John, and we find it again as we come down almost to the very end. But we know, a word that means we know assuredly, we know intuitively, we know what others do not know. We know intuitively in the sense that having been born of God and having the changed heart which He gives to us and having the indwelling Holy Spirit who teaches us, then we know certain things. And there's a basic truth that we know. We know that we are of God. We are of God. The Greek preposition ek means out of or from. We know that we have new life that comes out from God. It originates with God. We know that we belong to God because we have this new life that comes from God and marks us out as different from those who have not yet been born again. So we, who have been born again, are of God, and the life of God within us is the evidence of that, and that which makes us different from the world. So we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world. All of it, that is, of course, except the part that is of God. And again, I have to point this out. I wouldn't do this if it were not such a common misunderstanding by so many people. But the idea that when you find the word world in the Bible, it's talking about every individual in the world without exception. Or when you find the word whole world, certainly that's talking about every individual in the world without exception. Here we have a very glaring exception to that assumption. Because here, that is not what the world means when it says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Are you a born-again believer? Do you lie under the sway of the wicked one? Of course not. We, who have been born of God, do not lie under the sway of the wicked one. We are of God. And so we are marked out as different from the world, but the whole world, that is the world that does not represent those who have been born again, lies under the sway of the wicked one. And every part of the world is under the domain of Satan. He is elsewhere referred to as the god of this world. And so whatever you want to talk about in this world, apart from the people of God, and where the kingdom of God is at work, but everything else is under the sway of the wicked one. The entertainment in the world is under the sway of the wicked one. The politics of this world is under the sway of the wicked one. The economics of this world is under the sway of the wicked one. The education of this world is under the sway of the wicked one. The religion of this world is under the sway of the wicked one. That word sway is more than simply influence. It's a word that has the idea of control. It does not indicate that all of these things belong to the wicked one, for they do not. He doesn't own them. They've only been granted to him as a temporary project, I guess you might say, a temporary time of influence, which he has. But it is more than simply that the wicked one influences these things. No, he controls them. The whole world lies under the sway, that is, under the control of the wicked one. It lies there. It reclines there. It lies prostrate there. It languishes there. It is in a state of non-resistance to this one who controls it because God has allowed him to control it for a season. That's the only reason he can control it, because God said, for a time, I'm going to let you control it. So when Satan, the devil, said to Jesus in the temptation, if you'll bow down to me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world, he wasn't promising something that he couldn't do. He actually does have temporary control of all the kingdoms of the world. And as the one who controls them, he could grant them to Jesus. Now, if you think he actually would do that, I don't think so. because we know the character of Satan. We know what the Bible says, that he is a liar and the father of it. So he'll make promises like that and then renege on them. If Jesus had bowed down to him, a total impossibility, because Jesus would not, Jesus could not, that, of course, would be sin for him to bow down to the devil. But if he had taken the devil's bait and said, okay, I'll bow down to you as a shortcut to gain control of the kingdoms of the world, I think I know exactly what would have happened. The devil would have laughed at him for falling to his deceit, falling into his trap, and would have walked away without relinquishing the control of the kingdoms of this world. He's not about to give them up, but one day he will. Not voluntarily, not because he promises them to somebody, but because he is going to be chained, and they are going to be wrested out of his hands. But in the meantime, there are two realms. There is the kingdom of Christ, and there is the kingdom of Satan. And we, who have been born again, belong to the kingdom of Christ. We are out from God. We have new life that originates from God. And because of that, we belong to God. And therefore, we don't belong to this world. But the whole world, that is the remainder of it, that does not exist presently under the kingdom of Christ, the whole world lies under the control of the wicked one. And that explains so much. Sometimes we have trouble figuring out what in the world is going on. It seems like things are out of control. We say that God rules this universe, and then look at what's going on. Well, yes, look. And understand what the Bible tells us. The world, by God's design and specific permission, the world is under Satan's control. But the world is unaware of its true condition. It doesn't realize that it's under Satan's control. The world, for the most part, thinks that it is autonomous and that it is free. It is doing what it wants to do, which, in fact, it is, because men love darkness rather than light. And so it's not surprising that they head in that dark direction. So we shouldn't be surprised when the world acts like the world, because the world has an inclination away from those things which are true and righteous and godly, and is actually under the control of the wicked one without realizing it. And so we really can't expect the world to adopt Christian behavior. Why do we think that the world is going to act like Christians? Why do we think the world is going to obey the Word of God? It's not. The world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And the world cannot adopt Christian behavior unless and only when it is changed by the gospel of Christ applied by the Holy Spirit of God. So, we should recognize the truth about the world, and we should have great concern for those who say they belong to God but act like they belong to the world. That's a telltale sign. It's not what you say, it's how you act. What are you acting like? Are you acting like your father, the devil? Are you acting like one who is under the control of the devil? Then that's because you belong to him. You belong to the world. You are part of that whole world that lies under the sway of the wicked one. But those who have been born again, we are of God. And we are different because we are of God. And that is the demarcation of the believer. Well, I hope this has been helpful. We will return to our study of this portion of God's Word on the broadcast tomorrow. I hope you'll join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.